Important dates in Christian history. 387 AD. Augustine of Hippo is converted. His writings became bedrock for the Middle Ages and were influential in the Reformation. The Confessions and City of God are still read by many. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dare to have flashback. This is Wretched Radio. I found some anointed, Jimmy.
Okay.
Apparently they're not together anymore. That's a shame. These three could sing.
It really doesn't matter where we go, because somewhere in the center of the soul, love reminds us of the tie that binds us. We can't forget that your song is in our hearts. So together we will stand, cause forever.
That was a really fun concert, if you don't mind me flashing back a little bit. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio? The point of eschatology is more than systems and timelines. Instead, it is intended to get us ready, get us excited, embolden, encourage, comfort, and produce joy. That's the purpose of eschatology. And you say, Friel, you made the point. And I say, just in case I haven't, listen to these Bible verses that really undergird the same type of thinking that I believe we should have when it comes to considering when Jesus is going to return. It should do something for us. Isn't that what all theology should do? And isn't it interesting when you read a Bible verse, maybe with a different subject in mind, how you see things that perhaps weren't there before? For instance, consider 1 Corinthians 15. This is another great chapter on the return of Jesus Christ. It says that Jesus is coming in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, will be changed. Death will then be defeated. And it is in that context, then, in verse 58, it says this, therefore, in other words, because Jesus is coming back, because of eschatology, my beloved brothers and sisters, be firm, immovable, excelling in the work of the Lord. That is what eschatology should do for you. It should encourage you to be firm, to not waver, to not put up with wonky theology, to not tolerate sin in your own life. Be firm, immovable, excelling in the work of the Lord. Well, how do you do that? Because you're thinking about the return of Jesus. That's what eschatology should do for you. You think about it. Imagine it if you'd like to. Study it all you want, but don't miss the point. Don't just turn it into a timeline and a system. Study it because it should motivate you to get on it. Here's Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, instructing us to deny ungodliness, so this is sanctification, and worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and in a godly manner. Okay, that's a lot of stuff that we're supposed, that the business that we're supposed to be about. Did you catch all of it? Deny ungodliness, worldly desires, to live sensibly, righteously, and in a godly manner. Would you like to be better at doing those things? Then think eschatology. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. You want to live sensibly, righteously, in a godly manner? Then remember the blessed hope of the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what eschatology should do for you. Furthermore, it should bring comfort and hope. Here's 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. All right, we have hope. Hope in what? Hope in the resurrection of the dead. Hope that Jesus is going to return and we're going to be made alive in Christ, and we're going to be given a resurrection body that gives us hope when we remember these things. That's what verse 14 says. For if we believe Jesus died and rose from the dead, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. Ah, I have hope. Verse 15. For we say this to you by way of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. This, by the way, this is why I adhere to the pre-mill position. This verse right here is one of the biggies. It's also a consistent hermeneutic is another big issue for me. But the descriptors here, I don't think that it is spiritual. Just as Jesus ascended, he's returning. Just as physically up, physically coming down. It's not a spiritual reign. He's coming back with his body. For we say this to you, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's where the idea of the rapture comes from, to meet the Lord in the air. So he's not coming all the way down. We're going to meet him in the air. And so we'll always be with the Lord. Here's verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's why we should be thinking eschatology. It comforts one another, just knowing it. You don't need to do anything other than remind somebody he's coming back. He's coming back, and he's coming back bigly. Here's 1 John 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we'll be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself. That's what eschatology will do. It'll help you to purify yourself. It'll give you something to look forward to. There's another benefit of eschatology. I know some older men who are out of exciting things to do. They've done it. They've been there. They've tasted it. They've traveled it. They've seen it. Been there. Got the trophy. Got the t-shirt. And now what? Here's now what. Jesus is coming back. You got something big to look forward to. Something that none of us have ever experienced ever. The return of God. Philippians 3. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. And that is why, as things get worse, in my estimation, I think Jesus made that clear, it's just going to get worser, that we have this hope, eager anticipation, and say, oh, if we're called to stand firm, to endure to the end, even as things all around us unravel, thinking about his return is going to help you to do that. Thinking about the victory that awaits Jesus Christ and us because we are in him. That should make us eager and should cause us to call out, how's about today? How's about now? I've had it with this. I was sick of the sin and the unrighteousness and the lying and the scheming and the conniving and the deception. Come back, Lord Jesus. That's what it should do for us. That's what Paul is saying in Philippians. We eagerly wait for a Savior who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. In other words, you can be looking forward to the day you get a new body without any aches, pains. No lumps, no bumps, no shadows in the x-rays, no need for medication anymore. I'm going to get a body, and that should cause you to be eager. Okay, let's go. Let's do this, please. Let's do this. Here's 2 Timothy 4:8. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. The first one and the second one, Hebrews 9. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await for him. You should be excited. Jesus is going to do more than make America great again. He's going to return the planet to its original design. And frankly, I think even better, because the new Jerusalem will descend from heaven. In other words, the heavens will be on the earth and we will be with God forever. And that should comfort you and encourage you and embolden you and spark your desire to evangelize and to be ready to clean up your house, to think about all of the amazing things that God has in store for you when his son returns. Debate over the timeline all you want, but don't miss the point, because Jesus is coming back. Be ready. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this: every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world. And that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Krotz, plus Gary Barvell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Books of the Bible. Zephaniah begins with a shocking prophecy that God will sweep away everything from the face of the earth. But in the midst of judgment, God offers hope of salvation. Zephaniah gives us a picture of God's terrible wrath and reminds us of the wrath Jesus took upon himself for our sake. Flee to the Savior and be saved. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
1997. This is Wretched Radio. Apparently, that was the year the Big Voice Tour made its way around the country with some big voices. Anointed, which apparently is broken up now. They're not singing together anymore.
It doesn't appear.
I wonder if they still have the anointing. There was Brian Duncan. That fella could wail. And Crystal Lewis. This was in a season when I just thought that at least contemporary worship was just theologically better and was more heaven-focused. Our praises going up as opposed to the blessings, the fire and the anointing coming down.
Jesus, who died and rose again. Jesus is the lion and the lamb.
Quoting a Bible verse, that doesn't happen much in contemporary music these days, it seems. That's an air supply note right there. Wow. I just love big boys singing. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio 1997? Zoink Scoob, that was with... Did the radio station that I was with then fire me? Probably. Because that was kind of what was going on. Eschatology. It will impact your life. Let me return to where we began, and that is with Virgil Walker, stating that the eschatological purpose of sanctification should be kept in mind when it comes to thinking about end times events. In other words, as we grow in sanctification, it is fitting us. It is getting us ready for heaven. But Virgil wisely writes about the dangers of false sanctification. Listen very carefully, because you do not want to have a false sanctification. The Christian walk is delicate. It's very, very easy to fall into the first sanctification ditch, which is legalism. And I've seen this happen to people before. They forget something crucial in their Christian walk, and so they go about the business of laboring, striving, doing, making sure that they are adhering to all of the rules of Christianity. Should we try to do that? Of course we should try to do that, but that's really not the heart of Christianity. We are supposed to rest. We're supposed to recline in Jesus Christ, trusting all of his promises, knowing that we are saved by grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, and then walk, obey, get about the business of sanctification. But if you fail to remember the trusting and resting component, you're going to become a work righteous person. You're going to be underneath the yoke of legalism. Legalism, this is Virgil, teaches that sanctification is achieved through external rules and moral effort. Legalists attempt to earn God's favor by rigid adherence to laws, creating a spirit of self-righteousness and pride. I've seen that one too. Now, that's a little bit different than the aforementioned person who falls underneath the spell of legalism. There are people who become legalists not because they think that they're earning God's favor, but because they've forgotten they have God's favor. And so they feel like, that, well, this is, I've got to do these things. Yep, you do. You can't forget, by the way, there's another player in this game of sanctification, and that would be the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is your paraclete, who is the one who provides you the power, who does give you the ability to obey. Don't forget that. Don't become a legalist in the sense that you've forgotten. You're safe. You have an A. Been a long time since I've used this illustration. Wow. If you had a difficult test to take, it was coming up, physics, calculus, one of those subjects that for the most of us is kind of hard. But you knew that you had an A. You had an A. Okay. I suppose a lazy person would just go, fine, I got an A, I'm good to go. Or might you study hard knowing that you've already been given a good grade, that's sanctification. You've been given an A. Jesus got an A. You get an F. Jesus got an A. Now, what should you do? Live like an F student? No, I want to be what I've been given. That's sanctification. We do it. And there's another component of sanctification that I think is all too often overlooked. And that is that what Jesus commands of us isn't not just a system to make you look like a moral person. It is for your good. That is what laws are. They are for our good. Here's an illustration, and it's going to be a bad one because I'm just making it up right now. Highway 400. Jimmy, you've been on 400 lately?
Yeah.
Hoofda.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, I know that people have always been ziggers and zaggers, and they just kind of shoot in and out, and they do like 90, I'm not kidding, 90 miles an hour is not uncommon on the freeways in Atlanta. People drive so fast. And I know that always existed. It seems that that the dangerous driving is increasing in Atlanta, and they disregard the rules. Now, I have a confession to make. I can have a lead foot. I'm inclined. I want to be the guy in the far left lane and I get out of my way. If you are impeding me, move over. Pretend it's Germany. Get out of the fast lane. Because some of us, we got things that we got to do because we're important. What are the laws there for? Are they to make me late? No. That would be on me if I'm tardy and I didn't time it rightly. Are they there to agitate? No, they're there to keep me safe. They're for my good. So even as I perhaps go over a lane or two or even all the way to the right lane, those laws keep me safe. They allow me to arrive at my destination without harm. They're for my good. Ditto God's laws. Don't see God's laws as being onerous. See them as being what's best for you. It'll keep you from being a legalist. John Bunyan, a man may wear out his life in a legal spirit and never see heaven. True sanctification flows from the spirit, not the letter of the law. Examine yourself. Have you fallen into a ditch? I'm not saying examine yourself to see if you're saved or not. I'm asking you to examine yourself to see if you have adopted any legalistic tendencies. Number two form, according to Virgil Walker, of a dangerous sort of false sanctification, antinomianism. I don't need to be obedient. I got grace, Daddy-O. I don't need holiness. Jude, certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into what? Sensuality and deny our master. That's what antinomianism is. And that trend, by the way, it has not gone away. It was big after the Big Voice tour, but it was big. Hyper grace. Just rest in the grace, man. Just don't even think about it. Just think about grace. You'll do what you're supposed to do. No striving. No fear of discipline. No mortification of the flesh. No self-denial. It was all about doing nothing. James says we're to walk in obedience. Because that is what our God wants for us. We are supposed to be in a war, and it is an ongoing battle. The enemy never puts down his arms. Okay, fine. We'll stop trying to tempt you. Okay, fine. We'll stop trying to make you look less like Jesus Christ. They never quit. They never cease fire. And that is why we are always in this battle. Having said that, we never forget that we have been saved by grace alone. You got to remember both of these things. Do they exist in tension? Only in our minds, certainly not in God's. We know we're saved. That knowledge motivates us to be what we've already been made, which is sanctified. We are called as saints. That's who you are. You have an A. Now get busy. That's the Christian walk. Don't fall into any one of these ditches of sanctification legalism, that it is incumbent upon you. Otherwise, you could get kicked out of the kingdom. That is not the way that it works. So trust and obey. Do both of those things. Hold on to those things. And when you find yourself maybe feeling weary, there's a pretty good chance it's because you're forgetting all of the riches that you have in Christ. So spend more time thinking about those things, but then don't ignore the sanctification. Then get on it and walk one foot in front of the other. You need both feet, though. I don't know that that illustration is working exactly, but you need to remember both of these things. Otherwise, it is almost certain you just won't be an assured, joy-filled Christian. And that is precisely what God wants for you. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.